Organized Chaos, presented by ADT. Brilliantly safe.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. Rex Ryan will be joining me a little bit later, but I tell you what, we had a defensive classic going on here. Now, a lot of you people look at 0-9 as an ugly football game. I look at it as pure beauty, as both defenses played at a high level. Time terrific. You know, you talk about all the times we criticize these quarterbacks because they can't, you know, make plays, and we make excuses about their receivers going out. But Tom Brady still had good enough receivers. He's the GOAT. He has a great offensive line. He had good enough wide receivers. He still had Gronk. And what did that account to? A Robert Parrish. I'm sorry, not double zero. It accounted for Gilbert Arenas as the GOAT. The great one himself is shut out the first time in 15 years. You talk about the best offense, the number one scoring offense in the game, not scoring a touchdown. And I tell you what, you have to tip your hat to these New Orleans Saints, and you have to tip your hat. No Sean Payton. Taysom Hill is pretty much a wildcat quarterback. No weapons outside other than Alvin Kamara, and they did a good enough job, and the defense did a great enough job turning Tom Brady over. They got to him multiple times. They had multiple different defenses, schemes, schematics. You got to give your hat, tip your hat off to Dennis Allen as well. You know, you talk about this is the fourth, I think the third time, three out of four that they've beaten Tampa Bay. And I don't know if he knows something about Tom Brady or what's going on, but this was a tremendous opportunity. Sean Payton, his coaching staff, they lived to fight another day. How ironic would it be? You know, you talk about some of the best coaching jobs going on. Sean Payton. You talk about Mike Tomlin. You talk about John Harbaugh. And when I say that, the only reason I lump all these coaches together is because they are playing with people that we wouldn't even expect. If this was the NBA, this would be the G League team that they're throwing some of these guys out there. And they're just stepping up. And they're just playing and representing the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. You know, I know it's going to be a lot of – You know, questions about Tom Brady, this, and they're going to make excuses for him. Listen, they had the T-shirts out, ready to celebrate a divisional title again. And, you know, New Orleans said, not today, not today. And that's what you love about games and matchups within the conference. You just never know. It is so much detail and information about each other, intimate knowledge about each other, what players does, you know, certain things well, what they struggle with, and also using what you know about them and their schemes and their checks and using it against them. I tell you what, this was a good game for me because I think this was a game where you talk about the defense is shining and playing at a high level and never breaking, never wilting, never letting go of the rope and continuing to do it for four quarters is something to be said. Rex Ryan will be here a little later, but I tell you what, this was a good one, and I'm sure he's going to appreciate it too.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. Rex, it's good to see you. I missed you last week, big fella, but it's good to be back and see you doing well. And once again, not a shortage of great games.
Yeah, Bart, we missed you too big time last week. But you're right. Some of these games, man, never looked like they were going to be worth a darn on paper. You know, you got half a Baltimore Raven team out there. I mean, this team has no business competing with anybody, let alone the number one team in the National Football League right now, the Green Bay Packers. And Bart, everybody's going to talk about going for two, was it the right call and all that, man? What do you think about that call?
I mean, it's the only move you got, man. I mean, you understand you're shorthanded. You understand you had so many miscommunications from the secondary. They're trying to figure things out, and Wink Martindale is coming up with a way just to keep his guys in the game. I mean, come on, they let Mercedes Lewis look like OJ the Juice Man there. That's the longest run that if they would have kept letting him run, he would have pulled a hamstring. That's how far he ran. But that's just like, what a credit to the Baltimore Ravens. And listen, I know everybody's going to say I'm a homer, right? But what a credit to the Baltimore Ravens that it doesn't matter who you put out there. It matters, but it doesn't matter because if you have a Ravens decal, you're supposed to be a badass, and it really doesn't matter what the name on the back is. You're expected to play a certain way. And the fact that the NFC North best arguably the best team in the NFL, had to go down to a decision about a two-point conversion. John Harbaugh, and I said this over and over again, and listen, he won't get the consideration because of the end result of what their overall record is, but this may be his best coaching job with what he's had to do and deal with navigating through this, like, tumultuous season for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I mean, they got no business. This team's won 8 games by the grace of God, and just the fact you talk about that Raven decal, the pride of that, that was something we talked about when you were playing and I was coaching, and they haven't let go of it. That means something to that football team, unlike some of these clown teams that that it doesn't mean anything. They can't wait to go home. And, you know, this team gives you every single thing they got every time out. And as far as the call, look, I get why they went for two, as you alluded to, Bart. I mean, look, you can't stop anybody right now. They're down. They got 5 corners out. They got 2 of their best D linemen out. They got, you know, 3 starting up, the 2 starting offensive tackles and the number 1 backup out. They got 5 running backs out. This team and the quarterback out. By the way, the backup is playing better than dang Lamar did. So, like, if you can't see why you went for 2, then you should. I just question the 2-point call, man. Look, Huntley had been killing him on the drop back game. Yep. Let him drop back and then let him create. Something will happen. Because you're right, Bart. Everybody knows you're going Anderson on a set play. So let him create and find something where he uses legs. And that's the thing that disappointed me, disappointed the hell out of me. But you know what? I called their play. I'm like, here comes sprint pass. I mean, right. What? I mean, that's Greg Roman. Like,
right.
And you know, drop back and create something.
And that gives you one option. It's one player, one opportunity to get the touchdown. And if he drops back and it's some type of throwback, you know it's the sprint out once you see the tight end on the backside come off the ball and stop at the end of the defensive end. I mean, Stevie Wonder saw that one. They had an opportunity. Hollywood Brown is wide open. And because once Savage sprints, he's the post guy. He goes to double from the post position. Hollywood was 3 to 4 yards in front. But because it's the sprint pass, you're not taught this. And then it was an inaccurate pass. But, you know, I mean, we're going to continue to question the type of ball, Paul. But the fact that they were in it is just amazing. But what about this Tyler Huntley, right? Because I feel like he has made himself some money. And I don't know what his contract situation is, but if you're one of these teams out there, whether you're the Saints, whether you're like the Denver Broncos, you know, you should be really considering getting this kid to you to consider giving him the opportunity to be your starting quarterback. Hell, Carolina at this point, listen, they need as many quarterbacks as they can because, listen, they've given away everything. So, I mean, hell, might as well give away a third or something. They gave away their second for Sam Darnold. They got to get a real quarterback in there. I mean, this kid looks legit.
Yeah, I wouldn't – if I'm Baltimore, I don't let this guy leave my building. And the reason I say that is he's cheap. And you get a guy that you know can win you games as a backup quarterback in this league. And knowing your guy is a running quarterback, I don't let this man leave my building unless I'm blown away with some draft picks, draft capitals. And I'm not talking a second round. I'm talking at least a first round pick for him. And I'm going to tell you this. How about if you're Green Bay? If you're the Green Bay Packers, and this is how Jordan Love played in the game he started, you're like, hey, Aaron, we love you, but we're going to miss you. See you later. And you feel good about it. Well, guess what? Jordan Love can't hold this guy's jockstrap is what it looks like to me. And that's what you're faced with. So you're right. But they hit on this young man, and don't let him leave your building. No way in hell do you let him leave your building. And that's another ridiculous, dumb move that Urban Meyer made by letting Gardner Minshew walk out his building for a low draft pick when he doesn't understand the economics of football. You've got to pay a backup quarterback. Why? Because you got to protect your franchise. And so you have to pay these guys. Well, if all of a sudden you got a guy in a first year of his contract, to me, he's going to be cheap for the next 4 years. So, oh, hell no, you don't let Tyler Huntley go anywhere if you're the Baltimore Ravens.
You're speaking about the Baltimore Ravens, right? And listen, it's tremendous what they've been able to do. But now you know, the Cincinnati Bengals are the top of the AFC North. And now this really sets up a must win, a revenge game. Remember the first game when the Ravens were relatively healthy, Jamar Chase went off. And this is when you had Marlon Humphreys. Now you don't have any Marlon Humphreys. And now you have, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals in their house trying to create separation now that they're on top of the AFC North. I mean, you talk about must wins. I mean, how do, like, this game is like, what is the mindset going into a game like this? What are you telling your team when you're saying, hey, the Bengals, the team, and listen, no excuses in this league. Nobody cares because Lamar Jackson's injured. Right. And I believe they didn't push it because they knew that they can afford maybe a loss in the NFC, but losing a head-to-head next week to Cincinnati would destroy anything and maybe potentially put Lamar Jackson out for good.
Yeah, I agree. But I think, you know, Cincinnati, it is what it is. If you're the Baltimore Ravens, you certainly have every reason in the world to get up for that game, because you got absolutely punked in your home stadium by a division opponent that you used to own. Well, right now they're in first place because of the tiebreaker against you. So they won't have any trouble of getting up. The bad thing is, and I said it many weeks ago, that the Baltimore Ravens are going from the number one seed to quite possibly being out of the playoffs completely, because I don't see how in the hell this football team can win a game. They have no business winning a football game, and yet they're in every one of them. 2 weeks in a row, they lose on the last play of the game by going for it on two. It makes no sense. This team has no offensive linemen. They got a backup quarterback in now, and you have no DBs, no defensive linemen. How the hell they're competing is beyond me. So, look, Cincinnati ought to be a 10-point favorite in this game, but they won't be, and Baltimore will make it close anyway. Because why? Because they're the Baltimore Ravens.
I mean, you talk about Cincinnati, and we want to give them credit because last year this was a team that, you know, looked abysmal, right? And the quarterback got injured. You know, they go out and they make some tweaks. And right now you have to give credit, you know, where credit is due. They're the number one team in the AFC North. I mean, I don't care how they got there. When the cream rises to the top, and when the dust settles, they may be on top. You talk about the Ravens, you know, not being favorite, you know, close only counts in horseshoes. But, you know, they were against, once again, it's like they're getting, now I want to say lucky, but you think about today, Denver's in control of that game. Teddy Bridgewater has a horrendous, I mean, you talk about, we've seen some crazy hits today as Ridley from the Jets gets carried off. You know, we watched Freiermuth get carried off. I mean, I think guys are saying, you know what, it's time, it's hitting time, and it's physical time. And, you know, today Teddy Bridgewater goes down, and I mean, I what's the backup name? Your favorite guy?
Oh, that guy. I hate that guy. It's a bad thing. Drew Lock. I got to tell you, this guy, he may be a smart guy, but he's the dumbest ass quarterback in the league. I mean, I'm watching just the way he handled it. You see the thing where he tried to make a guy miss and then basically turns the ball over to the defensive end. Like, that was just – and they're in the red zone. They're deep in the red zone. He makes that stupid play. And Vic Fangio's got to be like, oh, my God, every time we drop back the pass, this knucklehead's going to do something stupid. And then they get the ball at the end. They get a holding call, which is kind of a ghost call. Then he's got – here's – I love this one. On fourth down, did you see where he threw the football? He threw the football about 10 yards out of bounds. Like, hey, like, this is the gotta be the dumbest quarterback in the league.
Now, maybe he thought it was third down like Tom Brady did last year. I don't know what he was thinking.
I don't have any idea, man. I'm just telling you, it's comical. And here's the other one. Right before that, and I don't know if the fans saw this one. It's third down. All right. They clearly jump off sides. So Cincinnati clearly jumps off sides. And the great thing is they don't blow it dead. They throw the flag.
Free play.
So you got a free play. So you need to pick up like 20-some. It's like third and 20-something. Do you see what he did? He checked the ball down. He checked the ball down. Dude, you got to go 80-some yards with it. Throw it deep. I don't care if it gets picked off or whatever. At least throw the dang ball down the field. And that's what I'm saying. This knucklehead does it all the time. And it just, like, I mean, they can't – I always get on Teddy Bridgewater, the two gloves. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, I see why Vic Fangio stayed with him even after he doesn't have any guts to make a tackle or anything else. When I call for surely to God, you got to put somebody else in. Well, you know why he did it? Because he's got Drew Lock as his quarterback. We're talking about a Huntley kid. Well, you put him in there, both those guys are watching Huntley play. Like, no way in hell are any of those quarterbacks on that Denver Bronco team next year.
I guess what we say is all the time, Rex, common sense ain't common. And, you know, you look, think about some of the decisions some of these guys, you know, have. And listen, we're not talking about their book smarts. You know, we're talking about their football acumen. It's crazy. I mean, it never ceases, you know, how little guys know. And I mean, it goes back to, you know, I don't know what they've been taught, you know, going into these wide open systems and not really having to really think the game. But, you know, the game is played from the shoulders up. But some of these guys think because they're strong, they're fast, they got strong arms, that means that they're good football players. You know, this game is about decision making and making decisions when the pressure's on. And, you know, these guys just continue to amaze me. Let's go back. All right. Yep. Let's go back and let's talk about, I think the 49ers are the NFC's version of the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, I think they have tremendous defense and a run game. Both are two things that you don't want to see in the postseason. Which team is the most dangerous team in your opinion? Is it the Colts or is it the San Francisco? Because, like, Carson Wentz may be the worst quarterback on a good team I've seen in a long time.
Well, this is what's funny. Last week when Tannenbaum was on the program, I said the most dangerous team in the National Football League is the Indianapolis Colts. All right. And we're going to see after they play the Patriots. Well, we all saw it, didn't we? Okay, we saw how they destroyed the Buffalo Bills. We saw how they were punking the New England Patriots. But the thing that scares me about the Colts is that Carson Wentz, because he can pull a Carson Wentz on you. Yes, he's got tons of ability, but my goodness, he should have thrown three picks and could have thrown three picks in that game, and he only attempted 12 passes. So that's why I was so pissed when they were playing in a game against Tampa and they never ran the ball. Like, yeah, I know we play great, but it doesn't matter how dumb you, like, run the football, and that's what the Colts can do. And as far as the 49ers are concerned, when the 49ers have their core four, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, all right, and Bosa, when those four play, they can beat anybody, and they do beat everybody. All right. When one of them is out, they're done. Done. I don't care who it is. One guy's not playing, whether it's Debo Samuel, whether it's Bosa, whether it's Garoppolo or Kittle. Only one of them, if one of them's out, they don't function. And that's what it is about that team. But if they're healthy, you're absolutely right. You think they're scared of the Green Bay Packers?
No.
There's no way in hell they're afraid of the Green Bay Packers with the talent that they have.
That's crazy, right? Because you talk about Debo Samuels and we talk about Jonathan Taylor. I know that, you know, he's starting to get some buzz from what he's been able to do as a running back. But Debo Samuels, like, has 1,000 yards. Like his stats are worthy as well. Like, non-quarterbacks, right? Because I think Aaron Rodgers is doing good, but I have fatigue with him. I have fatigue with Tom Brady as well. I think with Debo Samuels – and Jonathan Taylor, we're seeing something that we won't see again in a long time. And I know that Derrick Henry probably would have broke the record. But if you look at, did you see Taylor on the 67-yard run? Which, okay, he was a little selfish. He should have went down at the one, but he wanted to pad his stats, I believe, to try and beat Edgerrin James. Yeah. But did you see him jogging? And then did you see when the DB got close? He was like, oh. All right, I guess I'll take off on you. And he just tried to pass. Like, that was J.C. Jackson. And J.C. Jackson,
dude, only one of the fastest players in the league. And when he saw it was J.C. Jackson, like, oh, okay, I'll go ahead and win this foot race. But, yeah, that's how special that Taylor is. And he's got my vote for MVP. And you're right. Deebo Samuel's been absolutely crazy. He's a freak when he's healthy.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. When you talk about that, like, can we make a case? Should we make a case for Deebo? Because like his stats are ridiculous. Like I don't hear anybody saying anything. I understand they came on late, but nobody's speaking towards like what he's been able to do. Like,
yeah.
And I think we need to try and maybe give him some love, man, because what he's doing, I don't think we will ever see leading his team in rushing and receiving. It's crazy, right? Right now, he's over 1,000 yards receiving right now. And, you know, you look at what he's able to do, run the ball. It's tremendous. He's like Anquan Boldin and Percy Harvin had a baby, and this is what came up.
Yeah, because he's way faster than Anquan Boldin has ever been. He's way more physical than Percy. That's a great comparison, but it took those two to get to one Deebo Samuel. You're right.
Now, before we go there, like, I want to go back to the Saturday game, right? Because I said all along that this was going to be the first real test of Mac and Cheese. And I said it was going to be the first real test also of like this Patriot defense that everybody thought was great against a run, but I watched the Jets run the ball against them. It wasn't, you know, the fact, it was just that his defense was getting so many turnovers that it made teams one-dimensional, and it was going to make Mac Jones have to play. Now, he struggled yesterday, and he showed some rookie tendencies. I know I've been tough on him. I think at the end of the day, that game yesterday was the best thing that could have happened to him, because he came back and he showed a championship heart, championship grit, and it pains me to say this, but this guy is going to be a good quarterback. Potentially a great quarterback in this league. How impressed were you and Mac Jones being able to get his team back into the game, and what type of grit he showed after having those costly turnovers?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, let's face it, he threw two picks, should have thrown another one in there, but he's had that, and we know that his arm doesn't have the great talented arm. And so you kind of wait for it. I've been waiting all year to see him play in the month of December and January to see if his arm talent is good enough to keep going. And I wanted to see him if he had the ability to lead a team in the fourth quarter. Well, he did. Man, that team was down. And this guy, all he did was bring his team all the way back, score 17 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. And the kid was making some unbelievable throws in there. Yes, he has to throw on timing and rhythm, and he has to throw guys open because he doesn't have the gun, but he's deadly accurate, and he's got the poise and that competitive fire that maybe he doesn't look like he has, but he certainly has it. And I think you're right. I think this is a positive. If you're the New England Patriots, you can, it's a positive that, hey, you got a guy that can bring us back now. And that's something that he had to answer that question. And then on the other side, you know, you got to feel great if you're a Colt fan, because you just got through beating the Patriots. You crushed the Bills the last time. But at the same time, look at your quarterback. And you really feel comfortable with that quarterback? You know he's going to do something boneheaded. And that, unfortunately, is how I think of Carson Wentz. Got a ton of ability, but he's a bonehead. He'll make some huge bonehead mistake that'll cost your football team. And it did in that game. They got no business losing that game. Game shouldn't have even been close. They should have put him out, yet he keeps continuing to make mistakes.
Any problem with the ejection? Because I feel like Kyle Duggar was the aggressor. He's the one who punched. I thought Pittman shouldn't have been ejected. He should have maybe had a personal foul. But the ejection from the open hand punch and pulling him off and all that stuff he was doing on the bottom of the pile warranted a disqualification for Duggar. Not for Pittman.
Yeah, I agree with you. And all he did was get hit in the back. His helmet comes off, and then he gets punched in the face. You know, so yeah, I never understood that. But they were trying to send a message to both teams. I think by throwing both of them out. But yeah, I could have. I'd agree with Duggar being thrown out, but not Pittman. When he got thrown out, I was surprised.
I tell you what, I'll take that exchange, right? Duggar for Pittman, they're number one versus my fill-in, you know, safety. I don't think that's a fair exchange. And I wish referees would take that type of stuff into consideration, how the value, you know, aspect of it, because it was crazy to me.
When we were playing, I was in Baltimore. We were playing Pittsburgh when they had Plexico Burress.
And James Trapp.
James Trapp.
My first
quarterback kicked him in the face, remember? And they got tossed. And we're like, oh, hell yeah. We'll take that trade. And we came storming back in that game. Just got beat at the end. It was very similar to what happened in the New England game. New England came storming back. And sometimes, you know, it ain't apples for apples right there. When, you know, obviously Pittsburgh had the short end of the stick there when we lost James. And then you're right. With Pittman going out, they got the short end of the stick where it was a positive for New England.
The crazy thing is, I just don't know if it's any team in the AFC that can handle the rushing attack and the physicality of that offensive line from Indianapolis. So that's something that they may not face unless they have to go against a team like, you know, that got that, you know, that Biavea and Dominick Sue. They need, you know, I don't know. So they may be able to ride the coattail of that rushing attack, you know, all the way to the postseason, because you have to put on extra people up there, which leaves one-on-ones on the back end. And all it takes is one time for you to have 8-9 men in the box and some play action, quick stuff behind. But I want to kind of go back to the Thursday night game, because it seems like it was almost a year ago, right? Now you talk about, you know, the matchup for the, you know, AFC West supremacy, right? And the Chargers, I just missed a great opportunity, and it was a great game. But I feel like Kansas City got bailed out. Like, what was your opinion of that game and Justin Herbert and all the, you know, the points that they just left on the board?
Yeah, I mean, they look at one guy that cost them the game. That was their head coach, Brandon Staley. No ands, no ifs or ands, buts or anything else. The man cost them the game. And he's done it several times this year. Yes, he made some stupid call on a fourth down on his own thing and bailed him out in a regular season game early in the year. He did the same stupid calls against the Baltimore Ravens, got beat in that game. Now he's playing the Chiefs, and he makes all those things. Instead of going up 7 points, time and time again, he goes, well, we're going to continue to play like that. Well, you know what? You're never going to win that division if you're going to keep playing like this.
Because the team
is better. They were better that night. When Chris Jones never played, I thought the Chargers would win the game. And the fact that he keeps going for it, you send a subtle message to your team, not the message you think. His message that he's telling guys is, we're always going to go for the win. No, you're not. Yeah. You don't think your team's good enough to win.
Exactly.
That's the message that I'm reading from you, big guy with the small hat. Give me a freaking break. You look like a ball boy, and you're acting like one, like a fan in the stand that has no idea that you have the best team. Let them play. And take the points. You're playing against Kansas City. Take the points. And instead, you time and time again, you bail the Chiefs out because you just don't understand it. Guy or whatever it is, it makes no sense. And you're not going to win. If you're going to keep playing like that, guess what? We're not going to see you anytime soon as a champion.
Everybody wants to, I'm aggressive. I believe in my team. I think it's the opposite. You're telling your defense that you don't believe that they can slow down Patrick Mahomes, which they were doing a tremendous job. What a buzzkill when you get all the way down there, opening kickoff, you take it all the way to the 20-yard line, you get inside the red zone, you go for it twice, and then they go down and score. That's a 14-point swing. Yep. Right? Instead of being able to set up your offense, you're deflated as a team, and he just continues to do it over and over again. And if I'm his defense, I'm like, well, you don't believe in us? You don't think that 3 points is enough? You don't think that 9 points is enough? And, you know, oddly enough, they win the game by 6. And it's all because, like, is that a fear of what they believe Kansas City used to be and not really a true representation of who they are today? Because I feel like, okay, well, you do that if you feel like you won't be able to stop them as an offense, but this ain't that same offense. This ain't and I have no idea how the hell you don't bracket or double Travis Kelce. Like, I don't, like, of course, like, he's running underneath. Why don't you have a radar where the other side safety is coming down, eyeing him, and if he comes underneath, you go grab him because you have leverage. Like, why would you – that's pretty much giving him the ball in space and allow him to run and yak after the catch. He's only one of the best to ever do it. Like, I don't know what these defensive coordinators are doing, but, I mean, I swear to God, Rex, I feel like I might just put my name in a hat to be a defensive coordinator, because I can't be any worse than these dummies.
No, and I'm with you on that. And this guy – You know, now he had 3 years coaching experience, so I can see why he's a head coach in this league on a job that he inherited, a team that won their last four games. It's just ridiculous. And the thing is, you pride yourself on coaching defense and all that stuff. Shouldn't that be your number one priority, to keep the ball out of Travis Kelce's hand and Tyreek Hill's hand?
Yeah, I'm losing to Harmon. Harmon's beating me.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, Harmon's beating me. I'm not losing to a dude that's already been barbecue chicken us all day and allow him to have a clear out and run everybody off in two man and let him come underneath. Like, they didn't even jam him. Like, we've talked about, you know, Bill Belichick when he used to go against Tony Gonzalez with the punt coverage. Why isn't Kelce getting the same treatment?
Yeah, but Bart, I have no idea. I have no idea. And it's something that I can honestly say, there's no way in hell we'd let the dude run free like that. But, hey, I mean, that's what they do. Chargers are, you know, hey, this is who we are. Yeah, well, we all know who you are. And right now that team deserves a lot better than they're getting from the head coach, and that's my opinion.
I tell you what, Rex, listen, man, like I need to towel off because I've watched so much bad football for the last couple of days, just schematically from a defensive standpoint. I need to take a break. So I tell you what, man, let's take a break and we'll come back after this and we'll try and talk about biting kneecaps and Achilles tendons, because it seems like finally they're starting to sink their teeth into something and pull some stuff out.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, being joined as always by Rex Ryan. I tell you what, you had to be happy for the old namesake. It looks like they're getting back up. They're getting knocked down. But, man, when they were down, they bit both Achilles tendons of the Cardinals because they looked crippled. What the hell was that? As the Lions pull off the shocker of the week, arguably the shocker of the year, have they exposed and peeled back the curtains of the Arizona Cardinals without DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, I have the feeling. Here's the thing that they exposed. The Lions here, people never told them that I guess the Cardinals just assumed that they quit coaching, because what I saw was a game plan that was 10 times better than that game plan of the Cardinals. And their players showed up like, come on, bring it on. We're not worried about you, and we will bite your kneecaps. And that's how they played against this team. And they've got 20-some guys on IR. And they got every reason in the world to lay their jocks out there, yet they don't. This team plays with heart. They've done that. The head coach has talked about it all season, and they play that way. And they play the way their community is, a bunch of tough asses. The Cardinals come walking in. We're the bad Cardinals. Guess what? They said, lock the doors, buddy. You ain't getting out of here without – without us taking a bite of your dang kneecaps. And that's exactly how they played. But they exposed them. They exposed the fact that this team had no energy, absolutely zero energy. So I criticized, I've been praising Cliff Kingsbury all season. Well, guess what? Not now. This was on you as a football coach. When your team shows up there with no energy, no passion, getting their ass kicked, getting out coached, that's on you as a coach.
So here's the good news, and Merry Christmas to Arizona. Their next game is the Colts, who is on a mission, who have to have this game, who's going to come with a sense of desperation and urgency to get it done. And if they're able to take care of the Colts, the Cowboys. Is it possible that the Arizona Cardinals can lose four in a row? At 2 weeks ago, this team had the best record in football, and they won without Mighty Mouse. They won without him, and now without DeAndre Hopkins, they potentially could lose four in a row and be a wild card.
Yeah, absolutely, Bart. Absolutely. And here's the thing. You know, that kid, he's great when everything's going fine. Man, he looks good. He's energetic, all that type of stuff. As soon as things go tough and it's not going his way, man, that dude is an energy vampire. He sucks the life out of his team. So if you're the Colts, man, all you're doing is stressing about, we got to get out to a quick start. And if we do, this dude, there he is over there pouting and all that kind of crap. And the body language is huge.
Yeah.
A whole game against the Lions. And let's make no mistake, the Lions players saw it too. All right, I guarantee you that they saw it and they felt it. And the Colts will do the exact same thing. So Arizona, you better find a way to get a lead. And if not, long Christmas night for you.
I mean, I tell you what, I thought he had matured from that. I thought his bad body language, as I called him out last year, even so much to the point where, you know, one of our colleagues out there that works in Arizona called me out for calling Kyler Murray out. But I tell you what, you know, we find out who you are when things get hot. And, you know, unfortunately for the Arizona Cardinals, their one Achilles heel defensively has been their inability to stop the run. Well, you might want to do a little 9-on-7 and put the pads on, because you got Jonathan Taylor and Hines coming through there in the offensive line that will shake you like a pit bull. And I tell you what, like, this is going to be those weeks where if you're a defense coach, or even if you're Kingsbury, like, hey, man, we got to set our pads, bro. Yeah, we got to set our pads all week, because I know we ain't used to going being able to grab on this type of thing. We're going to see something we have never seen before. Yeah, so yeah. It's crazy.
I hope that on the big stage that Frank Reich sticks with the dang run like he did this week and learns his lessons from previous times he's been on national TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about sticking to your guns, man. You know, so it looks like sticking with Tua Tagovailoa has worked out, as they won their 6th straight. Now, I know they were going against the Jets, but they won their 6th straight, and they're 7-7. You know, he threw a pick 6, and it was a much more competitive game, even though the first game was competitive. But, you know, this was a competitive game with Zach Wilson until Zach Wilson. But, you know, what do we think about, you know, the Dolphins? Because if you look at the standings, they're 7-7. They're only a game behind. You know, assuming that what if Buffalo loses to the Bills and the Dolphins win, you know, they're moving to second place or a tie for second place. They've already beaten the Patriots already at the beginning of the year. Like, what do we think, and how capable, how far can this Miami Dolphins team climb?
Well, I don't think they can go anywhere. I mean, it's just opinion. But you're right. I mean, you can't ignore that they've won, I mean, 6 straight. And so, yeah, nobody's given respect, because it is ugly, you know. And everybody wants to say Tua Tagovailoa because everybody finally figured out how to pronounce his name. But hard to watch because he's so small. The ball that, like, it just
big ball. He threw a big ball too. Big ball, pick 6.
Big ball, and we love his defensive guys going against quarterbacks that throw a big ball, and him and Mac Jones throw that big ball. But it's worked for him, and you got to give him credit. Their defense playing a lot better. I thought the Jets came out with some damn energy and some fire, and that impressed with the way the Jets came out. You know, and it just so happens in the second half of the game, they just don't have enough playmakers to finish games. And hopefully next year we'll be seeing a different Jet team. But if they come out and play with that kind of energy, I'll be looking forward to watching them play next season.
I tell you what, it's opposite world, right? Because the Jets struggled being able to start off halves. Now they start off fast. They can't finish. They don't know how to finish. And then, you know, you talk about only one or two possessions in the third quarter. It's going to get crazy. But, you know, next week, you know, Miami has the Saints. And who knows, you know, who's going to be quarterbacking for the Saints and what's going on for the Saints, as they've, you know, not been able to figure it out. But if they win that one, Rex, that's 8-7. I mean, I understand they finish out, you know, strong. But who knows if New England beats – it's funny, right? Tell me this. If New England beats Buffalo, and Buffalo's right there, would you think that the final game of the season is Miami and the Patriots? Would they let would the Patriots let Miami win so they can get in and get in instead of Buffalo, because they know they'd much rather face them than face Buffalo? Would you pull that one? I mean, I feel like the Bengals did that to us, right? The Bengals rested all their players and beat us, and then because they wanted us. Could you see Bill Belichick? Is he that maniacal? Is he that evil that you would see him maybe pulling that off?
Yeah, I could see him. He's that brilliant. Absolutely, I could see that. However, when the Bengals played all their players against us, and when we were up 30-0 at halftime, then they decided they were going to pull that. And the worst thing that could have happened to the Cincinnati Bengals was that, because we all knew it's like, dude, we already kicked your ass. We're going to kick your ass again. The only difference is it's going to be at your place. So we're going to back in from your place. That was the only message we knew. We knew we were way better than them, way tougher, way more physical, way better coached, way everything. We were, I mean, so.
Okay, maybe that was a bad example. Maybe that was a bad example. What about when Peyton Manning said,
"We don't deserve it." They put their players out there, and when they never converted a third down in 14 attempts, and they had like 90 total freaking yards, we sent their ass home and said, "See you next week." And we kicked your ass, then we're going to kick it again. I don't think it'll be like that with New England, but it would be kind of funny if all of a sudden they're like, you know what? I think we're going to rest some guys. That would be funny as hell to me. And, you know, Buffalo would be like, wait, what the hell? Well, you know, that would be kind of funny.
That'd be like the Eagles last year when they played that backup quarterback. Like, And also when Peyton Manning sat down for us. Peyton Manning did sit down for us with Painter.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
three quarters. Yep. Got that ass whipped. So yeah, you're right. They wanted to see us. And funny thing is, we saw him in a championship game. Best thing ever happened to him because we beat the Chargers, who had the number one seed that year. And the Chargers always beat the Colts. So maybe it was a stroke of genius by them.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, not a stroke of genius is Matt Rhule and Carolina. Like, I mean,
oh really,
they're going to finish last in the division. They've made more transactions than anybody. Like, Matt Rhule has to be on the hot seat next year if they can't figure out, with all the transactions they've given him, everything, full autonomy, full control of everything, and this is what I get. They get destroyed.
Yeah, another college guy as an epic fail. What a shock. You know, the owners are going to learn real quick that yeah, hiring a college coach is not the answer in the men's league.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the Mets just hired Buck Showalter, right? So it proved that, you know, all these analytical smart guys, sometimes you just need a good old football coach. Rex, you have Carolina. Well, not Carolina because he's not fired, right? You have the Raiders. We can kind of anticipate Jacksonville.
Right, we know Jacksonville, yeah.
We got Jacksonville maybe. Let's see. I don't know our friend Vic Fangio. I don't know. You know, he's out there. He's been there for a while. Don't know how that's going to go. I'm not going to fire anybody. You got potentially Chicago.
Yeah.
Out of all three of those jobs, which one is the best coaching situation? And which one would you think that you can just turn it all around? Like, who would you love to play with? What situation? Yeah,
I think anytime, any job you go to, you're going to think you're the man, because I certainly think I'm the man to turn any of those jobs around. Denver already is. You mentioned Denver. That team's already made. We just got to get a quarterback. You know, you just need a quarterback there. The Raiders actually have a quarterback. They need an infusion of somebody knows what the hell they're doing from a standpoint of what you want. That team needs to be a physical football team first and foremost. And that's the way you solve that. Jacksonville, all you have is a quarterback that is a once in a generation type player. Like, are you kidding me? So whoever gets that job is going to strike gold there too. So to me, they're, you know, all those jobs could be good jobs if they hire the right guy. I doubt it's going to be a college coach again. You know, I heard the state guy might, that'd be a good hire. I'm like, what? Come on, dude. We've already run that play enough. Stop it already. Keep it in the men's league where not only are these the greatest players in the world, they're also the greatest coaches in the world.
Now, opinion on Urban Meyer, I mean, like, were you shocked that he got fired?
Bart, I said from jump that this is the men's league. I welcome him to the men's league. And it's just a matter of time before he'd be out of there. What he didn't know, I remember talking to him and having a conversation, and he was telling, you know, I said, look, it's the men's league. I mean, you got to work your ass off the grind. And he goes, I hear that. But, man, I used to have to recruit my butt off and all that. And then as soon as he said, I go, man, he just doesn't get it. Recruiting is a freaking joke. Recruiting's a piece of cake. You meet people that love football, all that. You're going to have a meal, and you should enjoy that type of thing. Coaching is a grind in the league. A lot of times I used to sleep in the office at least three nights out of the week. Why? Because I never wanted to let my players down. If I can give them an edge, I was going to do that. and have my guys play to the very best of their ability and put them in possession where everyone can be successful. I heard there was rumors out there that he would go home at 6-7 o'clock at night. We all know he never went back with the team. So to me, I mean, he wasn't meant for this. And I think we knew it from jump that he wasn't meant for the National Football League. Maybe a great college coach, but this ain't college.
Yeah, I mean, he blew up all those spots. I don't know how you trust him if you're an organization, how you trust him now with all the baggage that he brings, even if he goes back or tries to go back to college. I wouldn't hire him. I think right now his football career is over in the league. League, college. How can you, you know, have a guy like that come talk to your kids and try and recruit him, talking about integrity, talking about dedication, work ethic. You know, I think for me, this was the kiss of death. I don't know how you put him back on television either. I don't know how he has any credibility, because if he's critiquing people about doing their job, he's toxic to me. Couldn't happen to a better person when you hear about all the things that, you know, people say about him. So I'll move on from that, but it'd be interesting to see, as you know, what the next fight is. The next fight is about if he's going to get paid or not. You know, that's going to be interesting. But it just seems like Shad Khan had enough, and we'll see who gets an opportunity to be able to be the next coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We know that next week it'll be a great matchup, and I don't like jumping ahead, but it's going to be interesting to me, because I cover Jets pre and post, to see what, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the Jets may end up with the number one pick. Because if they lose to Jacksonville, look, I don't think the Lions are done winning football games this year. And if they do that, the Lions may, you know, beat the Jets out simply because they have that half a win. Because the Jets have, you know, after the Jacksonville, they got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's barbecue chicken. It's going to be funny. It's going to be a funny race for the pick by winning by losing. And I know you hate that, but it's going to be interesting. Game of the week may be the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Jets.
There you go, Mark. The one that we're all going to be glued to will be that game. But, yeah, I mean, the Jets got to be favored in that one. I mean, I would imagine.
We shall see. It's at home, so it's going to be tough. We got a couple games. And, like, crazy, you know, this week, you know, we all understand within sports and our society, we anticipated this with the winter months. But also we anticipated this because now we have people gathering with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, and COVID's running rapid. And we've seen it shut down a lot of other sports. You know, the good thing about football is that football is traditionally mostly an outdoor sport. So a lot of these guys are playing outdoors, but it's starting to compromise a lot of the games, as you got games that are being moved. You know, we were supposed to have a second Saturday game. It was supposed to be, you know, the Raiders versus the Browns. And it's been moved. And I think that, you know, I think to me, that's a disservice to the Raiders, because now they have to travel. They have to, you know, prepare differently. And it's not, the virus didn't run rapid through their organization, but yet they're going to play on Monday, which puts them on a short week and being able to heal as they're trying to go to a, you know, to a playoff run as well. But now you allow Cleveland to stay at home, continue to prepare, don't have to travel, don't have to worry about where they're going. And I feel like the Rams didn't have to couldn't do that. I'm sure the Rams would have wanted to play with Ramsey. Now, I know it worked out in their favor. But, right. Hell, we've seen teams, you know, be punished or not be able to play. So why is it that they're making concessions for the Browns?
Yeah, that blows me away. And that's why I think Mark Davis was so upset that, hey, look, we already have protocols in place. And if you can't field the team, you can't field the team. And that's on you. And so, to me, that's what he was talking about. And all the particulars, yes, they have been – they got to go out. Now they're playing, you know, a game on a Monday night. And, right. And it makes – you're right. It's like, wait a second, dude. We were fine. Now, here's the thing. All of those Cleveland guys are going to be playing in the game now when before they wouldn't play. So, yeah, you're right. And it does look funny. I think the NFL, they can say what they want. But it certainly looks like they want the Browns to be in the playoffs to me.
And the crazy part is, Rex, what if now, because they've waited a couple of days, what if the day of the game, some Raiders players or Derek Carr test positive for COVID, and then he can't play? So how's that fair?
Oh, that would be the all-time worst And you know the NFL is praying that doesn't happen.
I mean, I just don't get it because it's not fair. Because
I agree with you. You know what's not fair was a game I saw today, Dallas Cowboys versus the New York Giants. New York Giants absolutely stink. And when I saw them, remember the Jason Garrett was a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Have you seen what the hell this offense looks like? They turned it four more times. They got, you know, some big giraffe guy playing quarterback.
We'll call him Jeffrey. He's Jeffrey from Toys R Us.
And you know, Dallas looks terrible, yet they win the game. And everybody, oh, look how great Dallas is. No, Dallas' defense is playing great. Their offense still looks lost. They got guys dropping balls all over the place. And they're limping in. They got 10 wins or whatever. And to me, that team, it's like, who the hell are they? But the New York Giants, you went from a team that had so much, all the respect. Everybody loves the Giants. They look at them a certain way. But they're the exact opposite of what you think. They're the clown show.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we get that. You know, they try and put that scarlet letter on the Jets, but you know, now, what team is in a better position without having a lot of contracts? You know, I think you know all the money that Gettleman spent last year on Galladay, on all those pieces to come in. Now you're stuck with those contracts. You can't even move them, and the Jets have a lot of flexibility as all they spent was a really modest money on Lawson and modest money on Corey Davis. And their draft picks have worked out. Now, I like Aziz Ojulari. I think, you know, he was the steal of the draft. I said that I believed in him, but I understood he had tough medicals, so a lot of teams didn't want to touch him. You know, the Giants benefit from being able to, you know, keep him healthy. But I don't know where they go from here. I don't know. I feel like they're in the same position that the Jets were in with Sam Darnold, right? You want to believe your eyes with Danny Dimes, but if you're still asking if he's the quarterback of the future and it's year three, I think you have your answer. You know, as much as I love him and I love his potential, his inability to stay healthy and also his turnovers. I don't know if you buy in and double down on this guy.
Yeah, those are definitely fair criticism without question. You know, how about the other one? The other game we never talked about was the Titans and against Pittsburgh. They dominated that football game. Absolutely dominated the game. And then they gift them three turnovers in the first quarter. I mean, and then Joe Hayden made a hellacious tackle to win the game, to seal the victory for the Steelers at the end. But anybody who thinks the Steelers are going anyplace is just looking at the scoreboard because they're not looking at the game. They totally got outplayed in that game.
And you look at Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know what his Jackie Robinson moment was about. He walked down the steps, walked down like to the locker room and sat on the steps. And maybe he was, you know, going to do his little seance because it seems like every time it gets to the fourth quarter, all the luck and everything starts to roll in the Steelers' favor. So I don't know what he did. I don't know if he sacrificed a chicken like Pedro Serrano, what the hell he did. But, you know, if it's close in the fourth quarter, you know the Steelers are going to make a push. And listen, they're still alive. And once again, like those organizations that we talk about, the Ravens are one of them. And you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're another one. They just don't matter who they got. You know, you got the decal on your head, you get her done.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the truth. Like, they won't die. It's just amazing. But, you know, and credit to them, you know. But, man, oh, man, I was so ticked off because I thought my homeboys, the Tennessee Titans, had that game on ice, and man, they started gifting them those turnovers. I couldn't stand it.
But what a golden opportunity, man, because listen, lurking and sliding to their DMs are the Indianapolis Colts, right? They're right there. And listen, once again, Julio Jones talking about, oh, remember what the narrative was? Oh, I'm not a guy that's injury prone. That's a false narrative. And man, they can't count on him, man. His check engine light is always on as his hamstring is injured again. And you know, can they stay healthy enough, you know, for King Henry to come back and be a threat in the postseason? But right now, you know, they let a golden opportunity get by them. And, you know, the Steelers are still alive and we have nobody but, you know, the 2-point conversion to blame for it and Vrabel and all the decision-making and the turnovers, you know, that they had in the game.
Yeah, that's right. But I will say this, if King Henry comes back, Uh-oh. Every single team in the league better be going, because he's going to be fresh.
Yeah, who are you telling? Fresh legs, Henry. I tell you what. So we got a couple of meaningless games. You know, you talk about games getting moved to Tuesday, but I'm not really overly concerned. I don't expect Seattle to be able to compete with the Rams. Even though they're within a division, it should be a good game. You know, the Washington and the right. Eagles as well. 7-7. It's going to be somebody, I think, out of this pack that we don't expect, whether it's the Dolphins, whether it's the Eagles, or it's the Washington football team, or even maybe the Vikings. Out of all these teams, if you had to pick one to back their way into the postseason, who do you think is going to be? Who would you pick?
I like the Eagles. And the Eagles, to me, can run the football. Ever since they flipped the switch, decided they're going to become a running football team, all of a sudden they started piling up some wins. So that's a team to watch. But you know what's funny, Bart? A lot of these teams, everybody will probably say Minnesota, but I kind of like the Eagles. But here's the thing. Everybody's talking about how are these, because of the COVID, moving the games to Tuesday, how is that going to affect the play and all that? The play won't be affected on Tuesday. What's going to happen is, let's see how it affects next weekend's game.
Yep.
That's going to be the check here when they're on a short week, all those teams, and let's see how that plays out.
That's why if I'm the team like the Raiders, I'm pissed off. Because not only if I lose this game, you're affecting my ability to win the next game as well. Yep. Because I'm traveling, you know, 4 or 5 hours on the plane, dehydrate my guys. I can't even get them back to make the adjustments so they can have a normal week. And it's nothing that we did. You know, so it's a tough one, man. But Rex, that has to be a wrap for me, man. I tell you what, you know, we're going to have some – it's going to come down to the wire, right? We got you know, coming up Christmas night, we got the Browns, the Packers, the Colts, and the Cardinals, you know, the Washington football team and the Cowboys. We're going to end the year off right. Now, I love the fact that a lot of these games are divisional games. And week 16 should be an exciting week, as week 15 didn't disappoint at all.
No, you're exactly right. Merry Christmas to everybody.
No, absolutely. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan, and this has been another episode of Organized Chaos. Rex and I will be dropping a new podcast each and every weekend from now until Super Bowl Super Sunday. So you can also catch me weekdays from 12 to 3 Eastern on the Barton Hines Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And you can catch Rex every Sunday on NFL Countdown and Monday mornings on Get Up as he tries to calm down Green from the Jets getting their ass kicked each and every week. Guys, thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcast.
Swaggle and Perk, a new ESPN podcast led by its namesake, former NFL veteran analyst Marcus Spears, a.k.a. Swaggoo, and NBA champion and analyst Kendrick Perkins. Spears and Perk will bring listeners the latest NBA and NFL news, as well as a look inside their life's career journey with can't-miss conversations and welcome in top sports and celebrity guests. That's Swaggle and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, and also available on ESPN YouTube channel.